over while I was out of sorts. Maddie had died around the same age as these girls surrounding me. I was responsible for them. Should I be doing more to keep them safe? Things I hadn't done for Madison. The day she died, it wasn't the first time my dad had gone into a rage. So why hadn't my mom or I had him locked up sooner? Why hadn't I been gentler, more understanding with Maddie?
Manning?
Lake asked.
In a minute.
But we're falling behind.
The rest of the campers were yards ahead, so I tapped Betsy into a trot. Lake bounced underneath me, skidding backward in the saddle until she was right up against my crotch. Up until this point, as a grown man, I'd thought I could control myself. Even earlier, when she'd squeezed me as tightly as a predator would its prey, her hands dangerously low on my stomach, I'd kept it together. But now my body reacted only as a man. I wanted to wrap my arms around her front, pull her closer, let her feel what she did to me. I was losing control.
Take the reins, Lake.
I slowed Betsy down and said,
Now, come on.
She did, and I slid back to put some space between us. I'm not going to the dining hall tonight, I announced.
What?
Her fine blonde hairs floated between us and stuck to my chest.
Why not?
I guess I'd said it to put it out there, to put a different kind of distance between us, because I knew she'd ask why. How much had she heard the night before in the woods? Tiffany and I had been arguing because I'd refused, yet again, to go on a walk with her. She didn't want to walk. She wanted to fool around.
I came here for you,
Tiffany had said once Lake had gone off with that kid.
You think I like this?
She asked.
The girls hate me. I'm here for you, and you don't even care.
I care, I'd said. Tiffany had stamped out her cigarette in the woods without a thought for how dangerous that might be.
Then prove it,
she'd said, and walked off. I'd needed to hear it. Being up here, rules changed. There wasn't anything wrong with hanging around a 16-year-old, and it was messing with my head. Tiffany was out of her element, and she needed my help. Lake could handle herself. Maybe it was the wake-up call Lake and I both needed. Tiffany and I have plans, I told Lake. Alone. Lake had the posture of a college professor. It made her reactions easy to read. I expected disappointment, and that's what I got. My instinct was to comfort her, but that'd probably be the worst thing I could do to a teenage girl I was pretty sure harbored a crush on me.
What plans?
She asked.
You can't leave the grounds.
I can if I want. I was a grown man, and I'd go where I liked, but I wouldn't. Where I wanted to be, one of the main reasons I'd come here was where I could watch over Lake. I wasn't going to go off for a few hours and leave her behind. Bucky's going to make us dinner after lights out.
Oh.
There was a fine line between hurting her and warning her off, and I could tell by her reaction I'd achieved the former. Knowing it was best didn't make me feel better. Not 30 minutes ago she'd pulled her body close to mine, told me she was getting older every day. It wasn't news to me, and it tore me down the middle. I didn't want her to get older, to know what I knew, to do things Tiffany had done. But it would happen regardless. Someone else would be her first love. Some other man would be the first to cherish her, the first to ruin her. It couldn't be me. It wasn't so much the difference in our ages that scared me, but how much a person could change, could be changed, in only a couple years. They were thoughts I didn't want to have, and they got louder as she sat quietly, guiding the horse. There wasn't a single blemish on her pink cheeks. I opened my mouth to ask if she'd put on sunscreen, but that wasn't what came out.
What about that guy?
She sighed.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I'd gone too far, maybe.
Do what?
Drive.
She held up the reins.
Will you?
I took them back as discontent rolled off her.
Lake?
Were you with her last night?
She asked.
Is that why she was late this morning?
I had no idea that was even on her mind. It really fucking shouldn't have been. She should be thinking about campfire skits and summer reading lists and whatever else young girls thought about.
That's between me and your sister.
Oh, okay. Then don't ask me about that guy, and his name is Corbin.
I knew his name, but I wasn't going to use it. I didn't like how he kept appearing out of nowhere, how he'd set his sights on Lake, but also knew Tiffany through his brother.
Did he just take you back to your cabin, or what?
I want to get off.
And do what? I asked.
Walk back? It's not that far.
I'm not prying, just making sure he was polite. That he didn't, you know, try anything. Her breathing sped.
Her heart had pounded against my back earlier. I was better than her at hiding it, but my reaction to her was the same. Physical, powerful, painful.
I'm not going to let you down, I said.
She looked over the side of the horse as if she were thinking of jumping off. I had no business asking her what I did, making her feel sad or bad for letting Corbin walk her back like any normal teen girl would have done. My hands sweat around the leather reins.
Hold on, I said.
What?
Grab something, the saddle, my arms, whatever.
Once she had the horn, I applied pressure to Betsy's sides. She took off in a trot.
What are you doing?
Lake asked, grabbing my forearms instead. I nudged the horse again, and she picked up her pace.
Relax.
You don't even know how to ride, she cried.
Stop.
I steered the horse alongside the other campers, who hollered at us. One of the instructors cheered us on. He'd called Betsy wild, but he wouldn't put us on a horse that couldn't be controlled. We cantered to the front of the group. Lake squirmed between my legs, her fingers digging into my skin.
Manning, please.
Please what, Birdie? I've got you. Don't worry. She didn't ease her hold on me, but she relaxed her back against my front as we pulled out ahead of the group. Instinctively, I put an arm around her, holding her to me. Just us. Just for a second. Some strands of her hair flew into my mouth, but she was laughing again. It came from a place of pure joy. I liked that laugh so much, that carefree sound in my ears. My world had been so dark before Lake. It worried me how far I'd go to keep that light in my life. Chapter 17. Manning. Tiffany bounced in place, her eyes closed and her smile big. She'd pulled her hair back into a twisty bun thing and kept everything simple with a loose sundress and little makeup. She was a natural beauty.
Where are you taking me?
She asked. It wasn't as if I had the world at my fingertips, just a few places where there weren't any people. I led her away from the dining hall, where all the other counselors were hanging out, to a staff dining area off the kitchen. Gary and I had set it up earlier with a black tablecloth and a tall white candle. Tiffany opened her eyes when we stepped inside.
Oh my God, she said. This is so romantic.
I pulled out a chair for her, then cupped my hand around the candle and lit the wick with my Zippo.
You went through all this for me?
She asked. I sat across from her.
You wanted me to prove it? I am.
She studied me.
You really are old-fashioned, aren't you? For a minute I was worried you didn't like me.
I like you. At least I was coming to appreciate things about her. She was adventurous and bold. No girls I knew were as unapologetic about their sexuality. And she was beautiful. I hated myself for thinking it, but it was true. All the counselors knew it. I'd shut down some of the guys talking about her, had heard some jealous snipes from the other girls.
I like you too,
she said, sounding surprised. It occurred to me that she might also like other guys. I'd never had trouble getting women, but maybe I couldn't hang on to a girl like Tiffany as long as I wanted. And then what? I'd go back to being alone, trying to keep the past at bay, drinking, smoking, using my hands to build things for other people. It wasn't a bad life. I slept with who I wanted. I didn't have to watch my mouth or not light my cigs. Are you seeing anyone else? I asked. She darted her eyes over the table.
Are you?
Nope. Are you? I asked again.
Well, not really. I didn't think you'd care if I did, though.
Bucky came strolling out and made no secret about looking Tiff over. Dinner's about ready. I asked him what you like in your spaghetti, but he didn't know. How's a man not know what his girl likes? Dick. I had a feeling he'd been waiting to call me out like that ever since I'd asked him for seconds the day before. I owed him for making us dinner, but if I didn't, I'd have told him to fuck off.
Meatballs, I guess?
Tiffany said with a smile to egg him on.
What else is there?
Anything you want, gorgeous. Mushrooms, eggplant, roasted pepper, chicken. You mind calling her by her name? I asked.
We're on a date here.
Tiffany's eyes twinkled.
I'll take some wine if you have it, she said to him.
Otherwise, whatever you made is fine.
Yeah, okay.
Bucky sucked his teeth and returned to the kitchen.
You're...
She shook her head.
Not like anyone I've dated.
Same for you.
Is that a good thing?
She asked. I don't know, Tiff.
Most girls, I tell them something once and they listen, not three times. Even if Bucky flies to Italy and brings us back a bottle, I already told you we're not drinking wine.
I prepared for her to argue, but instead she heaved a sigh.
I know, I'm just nervous.
No, you're not. She smiled, looking up at me from under her lashes.
Yes, I am. Usually when I'm alone with a guy, we're either drinking or smoking, or there are people in the other room. It feels weird to just be out here in the middle of nowhere on a real date.
Huh. That was something we pretty much had in common. When I brought a girl home, it was probably after a drink or four at my local spot. Bad weird?
No.
She picked at nothing on the tablecloth.
Just different. Why'd you ask if I was seeing anyone else?
For a conversation like this, I needed a fucking cigarette. I guessed that's what Tiffany was talking about, getting too intense without something to take the edge off. Maybe it's too early for that.
Yeah.
She unfolded her napkin into her lap.
Maybe.
When I'm with a girl, she won't be sleeping with anyone else. Understand?
No, you don't want me for yourself, but you don't want me with anyone else?
My stomach grumbled. I guess. I mean, it sounds fucked up. What do you want?
I haven't been in a serious relationship since high school, and even then it was...
She shrugged. It wasn't really an answer, but she didn't say anything else, just twirled a salt shaker on the table. Maybe she really was nervous. I put my hand over hers to stop her fidgeting, and I think it surprised us both a little. She flipped her palm up and flexed her fingers, lacing them with mine. Tiffany sat in front of me, but she wasn't quite the brazen girl I'd seen until now.
Your hands are rough, she said. Is that from work?
Pretty much. It's definitely not from baseball. She giggled.
I guess not.
Corbin had left camp, but not before he beat my ass on the diamond. I'd had to sit through 9 innings of baseball against him this evening. I'd played a little in high school, so I'd been picked to coach the opposing team. Corbin had been in and out of baseball camp all summer and obliterated us while Tiffany and Lake had watched from the grass. Smug satisfaction sat on Corbin's face as we shook hands after the game, but disappeared completely as soon as Lake came around. I released Tiffany's hand.
What's the deal with him?
I asked.
Corbin.
She folded her arms on the table.
He's a good guy, comes from a good family, kind of a heartbreaker.
So he's a little shit. She laughed.
No, he doesn't do it on purpose. That's why I was worried about Lake. Like, if Corbin had a crush on me and thought he could get close to me through her, or maybe that Lake was like a substitute for me, then I'd worry he might hurt her. But he wouldn't do it on purpose, you know. He's not like that. He's just a boy thinking with his, you know...
Brave, bold Tiffany couldn't come out and say what she wanted. It made me smile. Part of me wanted to hear it, just to tease her, but there was a bigger part of me that wanted to know about Corbin. So do you think he's a problem? She cocked her head.
How?
Did I want him to be a problem? Maybe a little. That way I'd have an excuse to keep him away. I don't know, will he try pressuring your sister into anything?
He's not like that.
She rolled her eyes. But maybe he should.
What? I'm kidding. Of course I don't want Lake to do anything before she's ready, and she won't. She's too uptight. I swear she's the youngest 16-year-old I know.
Meaning?
When it comes to boys, she acts like she's 12, but she isn't. When I was her age, I wasn't so naive about these things. None of my friends were.
I shifted in my seat. It was just like on the horse earlier, Lake trying to convince me she was older while I wanted to keep her innocent. Maybe you were like that and you just forgot what it's like to be that age. She laughed.
My freshman year, my first boyfriend was quarterback of the varsity football team. A senior. You think he treated me like a kid? No. He taught me and my friends how to sneak out of the house, how to party. Before him, I'd had one beer in my life. By the end of the year, I took beer bongs as an appetizer.
I couldn't picture Tiffany at 16, which left me picturing Lake. They shared certain expressions that made me wonder if Tiffany had ever been as sweet and pure as her sister, or if Lake was bound to become like Tiffany. Lake was on the right track. USC would open up all sorts of doors for her. Nothing should get in her way, especially not someone like me who had no steady job, a murky past, and little more than what fit in a bedroom. Tiffany, though, she was going through something she probably couldn't recognize, not being motivated to find work or do anything of substance. She needed a hand out of it, and her dad was too busy with Lake. Even her mom hadn't seemed to want to help, more interested in getting me to date Tiffany. There was a pretty good chance I could be good for Tiffany, and an even better one I'd be bad for Lake. Bucky returned and set both plates down. "It took some bargaining, but I got your wine," he said to Tiffany. "It's in the back. Hope you like red." "We don't want any wine," I said. "She's underage." Tiffany nodded.
"I changed my mind."
With a visible sneer, Bucky muttered something under his breath that sounded like asshole. I had no idea what the fuck his problem was, but I didn't ask him to repeat himself. I wouldn't be able to control my reaction if I was right.
"This is so good," Tiffany said when we were alone again.
The food smelled damn tempting, but our conversation still weighed on my mind. "You don't think she'll head down that path, right?" Tiffany cut her meatballs into halves.
"Who?"
"Lake." I was pretty sure I knew the answer, but I wasn't around much in the big scheme of things. "The parties and sneaking out and stuff." "Oh, no." I exhaled. Lake had a good head on her shoulders, and I had to trust that. I went to pick up my fork.
"She should," Tiffany added. "But she probably won't."
I paused.
"What do you mean, should?" "It makes me a little sad how she just does what Dad says all the time. Like, he's so perfect. He isn't, you know."
I had to agree there.
"Still, it means she stays out of trouble." "And has no fun. I'm not saying she needs to be like I was. I don't want her to be. I just don't want her to look back and wish she'd been more, I don't know, balanced, social. So what if she has a little too much to drink one night and embarrasses herself doing karaoke at a party? Or misses curfew because she lost track of time talking to a cute boy, or ditches one class to go get ice cream at the mall?"
She took a sip of water.
"Big deal, she'll be 18 in a couple years anyway."
I stared at her. I hadn't even taken a bite. Was she saying Lake was almost 18? The way I'd been looking at it, she still had 2 long years to go, to change, to become who she was meant to be.
"Why do you bring her up so much?"
Tiffany asked. That was simple. "I worry."
"But why?"
Her tone was casual as she twirled noodles onto her fork. She lifted a shoulder.
"You guys have a weird friendship."
A tremor of panic rose up my chest. Couldn't I have just kept my fucking mouth shut? No, because that was what Lake did to me. Truth was, I had good reason to be worried. A reason that would shut Tiffany right up. I just didn't want to share it. I sat back in my seat, staring at my food for a minute as I worked up the nerve.
"You're not eating,"
Tiffany said, blinking big, pretty eyes at me, seemingly concerned.
"I told you you'd spoil your appetite if you ate dinner with the kids."
I glanced at my untouched food, my silverware, the melting candle, then at Tiffany. She was right. The friendship was weird, and I didn't want her thinking too hard about that. "My sister died," I said. Tiffany stopped chewing.
"What?"
"I had a little sister. I can't talk about it. I don't want to. But that's why I get so protective of Lake. I don't ever want you or your family to go through what mine did."
"Oh, God,"
she whispered, letting her fork clatter onto the plate.
"I'm so sorry. I had no idea. When you mentioned your sister, I thought, it's okay."
I needed her to stop talking. It's been years, so.
"What was her name?"
I swallowed. I didn't talk about Maddie. I would never say her name to a stranger, and that was how most people had felt to me since it had happened. "Can't." She took my hand.
"Was she sick?"
My head began to swim. I nodded just to end the conversation, even if it was with a lie.
"Manning."
Tiffany stood up and came to me. I tried to stop her. "You really don't need to." She moved the table, actually pushed it back a foot, so she could sit on my lap. "Tiff," I said, but I put my arms around her. "I don't want to talk about it." She touched my cheek, running her thumb over the corner of my mouth.
"I'm sorry."
I wasn't sure how to feel. I didn't want to talk about it, period. But it felt nice to be touched. It was something I hadn't had in a long time, the soothing touch of a woman who cared.
"Thanks."
She ran her long fingernails over my hairline and my eyes drooped shut.
"That's why you're so protective."
"Part of it."
She took my face in both hands and kissed my forehead.
I can't imagine if that happened to Lake. I'd die.
My throat thickened. Thinking that could happen to Lake, but also that Tiffany cared way more about her sister than she let on. I wished I could promise Tiffany it would never happen, but that was the thing about Maddie's death. I hadn't fathomed it was even a possibility until it had already happened. If I had, I would have done anything to prevent it. I patted Tiffany's ass. Come on, let's not ruin the date. It's going well. She pulled back and looked me in the face. There was no minty breath, no cigarette reek stuck to her. Just the earthy tomato sauce and wood cabin. She got up and went back to her side of the table.
Will you finally eat something?
I picked up my fork and took a bite. You should know, I said, that I eat a lot. I shoved noodles in my mouth and my words came out muffled.
A lot.
Yuck, Tiffany giggled. That's disgusting. I washed down my bite with water. You should see me with lasagna. Fucking massacre. She laughed harder. Tiffany took a forkful, pursed her lips, and slurped up a noodle. Tomato sauce splattered over her mouth, and instead of wiping it off right away, she just smiled and chewed. She was all right when she dropped the show. Her attitude could even be cute. The highlights, pink nail polish, low-cut tops, they didn't attract me. Not more than any girl I might meet in a bar. This side of her I could spend time with. Dessert was store-bought chocolate cake with raspberry drizzle. Tiffany took two bites and slid her plate away.
I'm on a diet.
You don't need to be on a diet.
That's because I'm on one.
She waggled her eyebrows as if she'd bested me.
If I weren't, I wouldn't look this good.
I wouldn't argue with that. She did look good, and I liked that she knew it. That was one difference between Tiffany and a lot of the girls I'd met over the last few years. I ate half her cake in one bite and swallowed. You think I should go on a diet? She smiled.
No, you're a guy, and a big one. You can eat as much as you want. You work out too, don't you?
Construction kind of requires it. She looked at her plate, which had become mine, and frowned.
I've been meaning to say, I'm sorry if my dad made you feel bad about what you do.
I get it. He wants you to be taken care of. I liked construction, but not that my next job was always up in the air. I saved every dime I could just in case. I didn't ever want to end up with nothing to offer. In that way, I understood Tiffany's dad. When the time came, nobody'd ever be able to accuse me of not taking care of my family.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Money's not important.
You say that because you have it. Living without it sounds glamorous to you. She waved me off.
I'd rather be in love than rich.
It was becoming clear Tiffany didn't expect much of me when it came to earning potential, and that she didn't know herself as well as she thought. A girl like her would always need money. You're saying you're okay with spaghetti and meatballs in a small room with a shitty candle instead of a fancy restaurant?
I've been to lots of fancy restaurants. You can't do the slurpy thing with your noodles.
She might believe she'd choose love over money, but I didn't. Not when it came down to it. I get the feeling you aren't really enjoying all this. Roughing it. She shrugged, her silliness dimming.
It's fine.
That wasn't convincing. I sat back in my chair. Is it the girls?
They hate me. I hate them. I can't even. I don't know how to handle them.
If I didn't think it had hurt her feelings, I would have laughed. Surely Tiffany could see why she was having so much trouble. The girls were many versions of her. I leaned my elbows on the table.
Know what I think? What?
There isn't a person here who could handle them better than you. She rolled her eyes.
That's because you haven't spent any time with my cabin.
Those kids, they're just starting to learn about makeup and boys and clothing. Who knows more about that girly shit than you?
Nobody,
she stated. Exactly. People have different skills, Tiff. Use yours. It can't be easy to put that black shit on your eyelids. She giggled.
Eyeliner?
It's not. It's hard, actually. Did I think 12-year-olds away from home should be learning to apply makeup? Not really. But in the scheme of things, I guessed it wasn't so bad if it meant it'd change their experience here for the positive. And Tiffany's, too.
Give them a lesson.
All right, she said. I guess I could try that. Then I'll teach them how to be stylish, even in hiking boots. There you go. I finished off both desserts and stood. I'll walk you back. She also got up.
It's still early.
Not in camp time. It's like I need twice the amount of sleep here. As we walked outside, she grabbed my hand, but when I squeezed hers, she relaxed. My palm was probably clammy. The site was quiet even more so as we headed into the woods. I could have used a cigarette, but I didn't want to stop. Best I got her to her cabin quickly. She took it upon herself, though, not that it surprised me. She stopped, getting me to look back with a light tug on my hand.
I want to thank you for dinner.
How? I asked, but I knew. She rose onto the balls of her feet and pressed her lips to mine. I stood still as a statue, as did she. This was the point where I was supposed to take over. I put my arm around her waist. For all her bravado, she melted against me quicker than I would have guessed, dissolving into our kiss. It didn't matter that I wasn't sure if I wanted it. It was happening. Any guy at this camp would have killed to be in my position. I tried not to think of the horse earlier, of the defiant pout I'd left behind when I'd picked up Tiffany for our date tonight. I didn't realize my hand was on the back of Tiffany's head until I pulled her hair, and she moaned, bringing me back to the moment. She pushed her tongue against my lips, and I opened my mouth. I owed her my attention, but she also demanded it. She wrapped her arms around my neck and kissed me harder. I followed her lead, going through the motions, trying not to give in to the wet, willing mouth attached to mine. She took my bottom lip between her teeth and nipped it. My dick woke up. Fuck, this girl knew what she was doing. An owl hooted so loud I jumped back as if we'd been caught. I held her at a distance by her waist.
What?
She whispered. I should get you back.
Seriously?
She stepped into me and trailed soft fingers along the back of my neck, playing with the ends of my hair. It had been months since I'd kissed someone. 2 seconds in, we'd stripped down to jump in bed. She told me her name, but I couldn't remember it now.
I'm just getting started, Tiffany said.
I know. Between being turned on and needing to keep our bodies apart, I was a little out of breath. That's why I have to stop. You're getting me excited, and there's not really anything I can do about it until we get home. Know what I mean?
Who says we have to wait?
She removed an arm from around my neck, lowering it to my pants. I caught her wrist. I promised Gary we'd keep it PG. She smiled.
How would he know? Unless he's watching with binoculars, the pervert.
I told you. I had to force the words out while my angry cock throbbed. I like to take things slow. She sighed, softening against my chest.
I guess, but this is super slow.
And what's wrong with that? I asked with a grunt. Here was a girl who had what men wanted and actually knew it. Why give it up so fast? You should be the one making me wait. She moved away from me.
What do you mean?
You know you're worth more than that. The only sound was her breathing. It'll happen, I said. Just be patient. She didn't respond right away. What she was thinking about, I had no idea.
Okay,
she said finally.
We can stay slow for a while.
Good. I took her hand again and led her to her cabin. See you in the morning. 7 o'clock sharp, all right? I don't want to see you on cleaning duty again. She wandered away, a little dazed, while I wondered why pointing out her worth had only seemed to confuse her.
Chapter 18. Lake. For the second night in a row, Manning didn't come to the dining hall after lights out. Tiffany did. At least that meant she wasn't with him. With Manning away, boys had been approaching her all night like bees with honey or moths to a flame. That's what Tiffany was to them, whether they knew it or not. A honeyed flame. One poor guy had been circling for an hour, working up the nerve to talk to her. Tiffany didn't even notice him. Tiffany, Hannah, and I sat in a circle on the floor with a few other counselors. Tiffany crossed her legs under her. I don't remember half these guys from high school. It's like they haven't seen a girl in months. They probably spent 4 years thinking they'd never get a chance to talk to you, Hannah said. Most of them are geeks, she scrunched her nose. I guess that can be sexy. I glanced around to make sure none of them were within hearing distance, then changed the subject. How was last night? She checked her makeup in her compact. Last night? Your date. Oh. She snapped the mirror shut. So good. So, so good. The hairs on the back of my neck prickled. Really? Not even in a sexual way. Manning just made me realize I've been dating boys all this time when there are men out there. How? It came out as a whisper, so I cleared my throat. What did he do? He arranged this dinner just for me. We had a great talk where he opened up so much. About what? Our relationship and stuff. She shook her head. His sister died. It came out fast, like an afterthought or an unwarranted slap across the face. I couldn't believe he'd shared that with her after I'd asked about his family, and he'd said he didn't talk about it with anyone, not even me. He'd given Tiffany this intimate piece of himself, and me nothing. When the shock wore off, it hit me. He'd had a little sister, and she was gone. His gentleness with me, at times, could be almost brotherly, the way he didn't smoke or curse in my presence. I couldn't deny the attraction between us, but it made more sense, his sadness, his intensity, if he was a big brother without a little sister. "Then he walked me back to my cabin," Tiffany continued. "He never acts like I owe him anything. He was a gentleman, you know?" That sounded like Manning to me. A gentleman. Someone who'd never push me to do anything I wasn't comfortable with. I wanted that for Tiffany, to be treated well, but not enough to give her Manning. "Can you be more specific?" I asked. "He was trying to be polite at first." At first. At first. Then what? "Here's a lesson you're going to learn sooner or later, Lake, so it might as well be sooner. Men's brains turn to mush with a little physical contact." My chest rattled with each breath, caving in on itself. I didn't even know enough about men to understand if getting physical could mean just a kiss or if it was always more. What I wouldn't give for a dinner date with Manning, and then to be alone with him afterward, to have our first kiss in the quiet dark under pine trees. "I'm starting to like this place," she said. "It's romantic." I didn't get a chance to ask for details. The boy who'd been pacing around like a predator finally pounced. "Tiffany, right?" he asked. "We went high school?" she asked. His face lit up as he wrung his hands. He was definitely more prey than predator. "Yeah, you remember. Armando Diaz." If Manning wasn't coming, I didn't want to be here. "You can sit here, Armando," I said, standing. He took my spot without a glance in my direction. "Thanks." After saying goodbye to Hannah, I left the hall. My tennis shoes barely made a sound on the forest floor on the way to my cabin. Bushes I couldn't even see rustled. There were no lights, just the sliver of a crescent moon, but even it was blocked by trees. Frogs burped a chorus by the lake. I heard footsteps before I saw anyone. It unnerved me, not being able to see who was there, which direction they were coming from. I turned around. "Hello?" "You're not making a very good case for walking alone in the woods," Manning said. It took a moment for my eyes to adjust to his big frame a few feet in front of me, shadowed, but undeniably his. "Haven't you ever seen Friday the 13th?" he asked.
"No."
"Is everyone in your family this stubborn?"
I wanted to make some remark about his family and how he'd betrayed me by telling Tiffany something it would have made more sense to tell me, someone who cared. But if it was true about his sister, a snarky comment didn't seem right. "I'm not trying to be," I said. "I didn't want to stay in there by myself."
"You have your sister. Your friends are in there. You have Hannah."
"I don't have you." Before him, I would have loved having Tiffany treat me like a friend instead of a pest. Now I didn't care to be anywhere Manning wasn't. I glanced at the ground. "Why didn't you come tonight?"
"I'm on patrol. Supposed to be walking the site, checking on cabins."
I exhaled softly, quietly relieved. He hadn't purposely been avoiding me. "Can I walk with you?" He hesitated.
"It's not really a two-person job."
"I'm not ready to go to sleep. Please?" Silhouetted against the trees, he ran a hand through his hair.
"I'll walk you back to your bunk, but we can take the long way."
He passed me, and I turned to follow him in the opposite direction of my cabin. "Did you have a good day?"
"We have to be quiet. Don't want to wake up the kids." Did you have a good day?
I whispered. His sigh ended in a light laugh.
It was hectic. Yours?
I got a bullseye during archery.
Yeah?
He sounded impressed.
None of my boys managed that. Me neither.
I practiced a lot last year, I shrugged. This was my first bullseye, though.
Wish I'd seen it.
It was a pretty cool thing on its own, but knowing Manning thought so, too, made me proud. We walked a little longer in silence, me sneaking glances at him. As my eyes adjusted, I noticed a paperback in his pocket. Are you still reading that same book as before?
Nah. I grabbed something new from the cafeteria. You see they have a book exchange?
Yes, but I haven't had time to read it all.
Started your dad's list yet?
I'd imagined him asking me this a few times since my last visit to the library. I wasn't sure I'd be brave enough to say what I wanted, but it helped that he couldn't see me blushing. Not yet. I decided to take your advice and check out a book not on the list, one about something that interested me.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Despite the cool mountain air, my body warmed, because once I said what I'd chosen, it'd be obvious why. Lolita? Manning didn't respond. My heart beat in my throat, getting louder as the silence stretched between us. You know of it?
Yeah. I know what it's about, and I don't want to talk about it.
I could almost understand why Manning shut down so many of our conversations when people were around, but we were alone now, away from everyone. I kicked a rock. Manning must have thought I tripped because he reached out to take my arm. What a surprise, I said, pulling away. Something you don't want to talk about. I felt his eyes on me, but I refused to look up.
I talk to you about a lot of things, Lake. More than anyone else.
Liar.
Excuse me.
Nothing, I muttered.
You called me a liar, he said. You can't say that's nothing.
He waited. For what, I wasn't sure. I wasn't going to apologize because it was true.
I'm seeing a new side of you lately, he said.
How was your date with Tiffany?
Ah, that's what this is about.
No, it's just a question.
Date was good, thanks for asking.
Did you kiss? It wasn't my business, and I hadn't planned to ask because I wasn't sure what good it would do to know. But I had to. I wanted to hear it from him, not Tiffany, who exaggerated when it came to these things. At least, I was pretty sure she did.
I told you yesterday, he said. That's between your sister and me.
I wiped my clammy palms on my jeans. I was nervous he'd admit they'd kissed. I was nervous he wouldn't, leaving me to fill in the blanks. So that's a yes. You kissed. Maybe you did other stuff, too.
Lake, he warned, an edge to his voice.
I know you told Tiffany about your sister, I blurted. Why not me? She doesn't even care. I do. He inhaled a loud breath.
That was private.
Sisters tell each other everything.
Do you talk to her about me? Does she know you and I spend time together like this?
I closed my mouth, scolded. Of course I hadn't told Tiffany about us. She'd just ruin it by calling me childish or teasing me for having a crush. He'd made his point. No.
Good, and don't, he said. That'd put an end to our friendship.
I looked up at him, panic tightening my chest. You'd end our friendship if I told Tiffany?
Not me, no.
Somehow I instinctively knew who he meant. Everyone who wasn't us. You're not closer to Tiffany than you are to me.
How do you know that?
I just do. You can't be. It's not possible.
Tiffany and I are friends in a different way than you and me, Lake. Our friendship, it progresses differently. It means something else.
That's not fair.
Why not?
He waited, but I didn't respond.
Would you rather I broke up with her?
I opened my mouth to scream, yes. But did I want that? Tiffany wouldn't care too much. This was way more important to me than it was to her. That made it fair.
Would you? Your sister's more than meets the eye, but I think you know that. Maybe people don't give her enough credit.
I had thought the same thing more and more lately. As I got older, I began to wonder if Tiffany was as aimless and flighty as Dad made her out to be, or if she was that way because my parents didn't understand how to push her.
I guess. If Manning could see that, then he was getting to know a different Tiffany than most people. I wasn't sure what to make of that. Are you saying you like her? He scratched behind his neck and responded slowly, as if choosing his words. I like Tiffany for a lot of reasons. But maybe there's one thing about her that brings it all together. Like glue. What thing? It's not something I can really put into words. He looked over my head and around. Let's say it's because she makes me laugh. If I break up with her, then I'd miss laughing, you know. I frowned. No. Surely she isn't the only person who makes you laugh. But let's say she was. Let's say me laughing while Tiffany wasn't around would be... People wouldn't understand it. So you wouldn't laugh at all? Because of what other people thought? Part of me doesn't think it's appropriate to laugh, either, like... Appropriate. I'd heard that word from him before. Laughing wasn't appropriate the way our friendship wasn't. I think I understand. I didn't tell you about my sister, because I won't ever lie to you. What do you mean? He stopped walking when we reached a wooden fence running the perimeter of the camp pool. We weren't really by the cabins anymore, which made me wonder if he'd brought me here on purpose. He looked up, his feet apart, hands in his jean pockets, forearms tense. I could tell he was thinking, his eyes distant, but about what, I wasn't sure. Maybe I'd asked too many questions, and he was about to send me back to my cabin. "Can you hop it?" he asked. I realized he wasn't staring into the distance, but at the pool. There were only two ways in, the gate on the other side, and through the locker room and showers. Both were locked at the end of each day. I had no idea if I could ever get over the enclosure, but I said, "Yes." Leaves crunched under Manning's feet as he surveyed the area. He motioned me over to the fence and picked me up the way he'd hoisted me onto the wall the day we'd met. I straddled it, jumping over the side. Manning followed right after, landing heavily on the concrete deck. He brushed off his jeans. "No trees in here," he said. "It's one of the best places to see the stars." I couldn't remember the last time I'd looked at the stars. Really looked. There were too many to count. A paint splatter of silver on indigo. At home, I barely noticed them anymore, but as kids, Mom had taught Tiffany and me the constellations. I pointed, drawing in the sky. "Little Dipper." "That's the big one," he said, moving closer to me. He stenciled out his own square. "It's part of Ursa Major, which means Great Bear." I looked over at Manning, a bear of a man, my Great Bear. "Ursa Major," I repeated. He shifted his index finger over. "There's the little one. You can tell by the North Star. My sister used to make the same mistake, until she knew more than I did, that is." I could feel her there, a presence between us, and I understood that the reason we were here had to do with her. She was part of the side of him that lived in shadows, a secret, but not just any secret, one that belonged to Manning, one I wanted to keep for him. "You did this with her?"
"When our parents fought, I'd take Maddie."
He tripped on her name. As he recovered, I tried it out in my head. Maddie.
"I'd take her out to the front lawn and make up stories about the constellations. I didn't know shit, but she started reading books about them."
He swallowed. The emotion in his voice was new for me, and he cursed, which he never did in my presence.
"Soon enough," he continued. "She was the one telling me stories."
"How old was she?"
"Only 9, when she died."
I audibly sucked in air. I wasn't sure what I'd expected him to say, but 9 just sounded so young. It was the age of the girls in my cabin. I'd been 9 7 years ago. Aside from a great aunt, I'd never known anyone who'd died. I couldn't imagine my life without my sister. My childhood would have been completely different without Tiffany. Especially if she'd disappeared in the middle of it. Poof. I tried to think of some way to express my sympathy, to make this moment easier on him. I couldn't touch him, not that I'd know where or how. "I'm sorry for your loss" just felt like the worst thing I could possibly say. Maybe talking about her life instead of death would help. "Would you tell me about the stars?" I asked. I could feel his hurt from where I stood. I tugged on his arm and sat right there on the concrete. There was no grass in sight, just this and the pool. It seemed like a big deal for someone his size to sit on the ground, but he did. We both lay back, some distance between us.
I don't remember them all.
His voice was hushed. It could have been his grief, but I was pretty sure he kept his tone low in case anybody passed by. They wouldn't know we were here unless they heard us.
It's been a long time since I looked very hard at the sky, he said.
I could feel my elbows and shoulder blades on the concrete. I wanted to hear about the stars, but I couldn't stop trying to picture her. What did she look like?
The opposite of you.
You told me once I remind you of her.
You do. She was smart and kind. Saw the best in people, always. She's the only person who loved me as I am.
Despite the balmy night, I got the chills. Not the only one, I wanted to say. I love you. But the thought of saying that aloud made my heart pound and shriveled my tongue. I wondered if I'd ever be able to admit it. Maybe he knew, though. Maybe that's how he thought I was like her. I inched my hand along the warm concrete, toward him.
She had black hair, like me, he said. Dark eyes. We looked a lot alike, except you could tell there was a whole universe behind her eyes.
Manning could be that way. As if he were living in two different worlds, sometimes only half present in this one. How old would she be now?
17. I can't even picture it.
I did the math. You were 15?
Yes.
Silence stretched between us. It didn't seem right to ask how it happened. I wanted him to want me to know, to just tell me, to give me something he hadn't given anyone else, especially not Tiffany. The longer we stared up at the sky, the more I realized he wouldn't. And what did that mean? Did he not trust me? Eventually, he pointed at the sky again.
There it is. I was trying to find the three stars that make up the summer triangle.
I looked for the ones he was talking about. Where?
It's not a constellation, but three stars from other constellations. That brightest one, it's the bottom, Altair. About a foot apart is Vega. Through the middle is the Milky Way, you see.
I still couldn't find them, but he sounded so hopeful I didn't want to ruin it.
I think so. I can't tell it the way Madison did, but it was her favorite story. There are different versions, but Altair and Vega represent lovers from different sides of a river, or the Milky Way. They married behind their parents' backs, and her father punished them by keeping them apart.
With the river?
Yes. They were only allowed to be together once a year, the seventh night of the seventh month. The Japanese have a whole festival in July. There was no bridge, so as long as the night was clear and it wasn't raining, birds would carry Vega across the river to Altair for that one night.
Of all the stories Manning could have chosen, there must have been a reason he picked that one to tell me. I'd learned about star-crossed lovers in English class. Maybe that's where the term came from. People would try to keep me and Manning apart because of our age difference, but we had this, the stars, the lovers, the night.
What about the third star?
What?
You said it was a triangle.
Oh.
His eyes roamed the sky.
I don't know.
So the story is about Altair and Vega. It isn't really a triangle at all.
He reached up to make 3 points.
They're all there, Lake. Can't move the stars.
But the other one, it has nothing to do with this, right?
He must have heard the panic in my voice. It was hard to miss.
It's about Altair and Vega. Just them.
He looked over at me.
Yes, it's about them.
My heart began to pound. Hope lived strongly in me, and I knew with just those words, the same was true for him. It was a promise. No matter what, the story would only ever be about us. I brushed my knuckle against his to acknowledge what I couldn't say. Was holding hands physical? What would Manning do if I put my skin on his and asked for what I wanted? If, like Tiffany, I used touch to get it. I got up on my elbow and looked down at him. My hair fell forward, a curtain around us.
Lake, he said. A plea? A warning? I couldn't tell.
I looked at his mouth. I had dreamed of it, the things it couldn't tell me.
of his lips, which couldn't kiss me. We were alone, finally. He had told me in so many words, one day, we would cross the river to each other. I leaned down. He put a hand on my shoulder, stopping me. We can't. He was telling me no. Again. Like everyone else, he thought he knew better than me. Couldn't he see that wasn't true? That some things were bigger than right and wrong, bigger than us? Hot tears pierced the backs of my eyes. Why not? That's just the way it is. He touched his hand to my cheek, and I leaned into his palm. This will have to be enough. I shook my head. I'm not a child, Manning. I know you aren't, but at your age, it can be hard to think past the moment, to consider consequences, the future. All I do is consider my future. And you're going to do and be great things. You'll fly far, Bertie, see places most of us never will. He moved my hair behind my ear. I'm counting on it. But I didn't want to fly without Manning. I was content to stay here on the ground with him, learning of the stars. But he sat up, forcing me to do the same. We got to our feet. All at once, the dreaminess of the night wore off, leaving the shameful truth. I'd tried to kiss him, and he'd told me no. Yet he'd gotten physical with Tiffany. What did that mean? Could there possibly be anything bigger than my love for him, something big enough to swallow it? My vision blurred with tears. I still hadn't figured out the summer triangle. There wasn't even a cloud in the sky. I just couldn't find the stars. Manning turned away from me and walked back to the fence. It wasn't fair. I'd seen him first. I'd had him first. But was I losing him? Was I losing him to Tiffany?
Chapter 19. Manning. Sunny, dusty days outside passed too fast. Spending a week in fresh air was exactly what I hadn't known I'd needed. For the first time in years, I wasn't surrounded by hardened men or straining my body so my mind wouldn't wander too far down the wrong path. I felt like I was part of the living. The kid's enthusiasm was exhausting and infectious. Tiffany had loosened up. Lake made me feel like a man again just for having someone to look out for. I didn't want it to end, but like all good things, it had to. We were leaving in the morning. Tonight, the counselors had thrown the campers a party at dinner, then sent anyone under 21 to bed early, including Tiffany.
But I'm practically 21, she'd argued with Gary.
Aren't you like 19? He'd responded. And even if you were 20 in 364 days, it wouldn't matter. You're underage.
I'd walked her to her cabin while Kirk had dealt with ours. Her girls had asked for a bedtime story, and Tiffany had pulled out a surprisingly good one. She told me why afterward. She'd just summarized the first three seasons of 90210. After saying goodnight, I headed to the campfire Gary and the staff had made. As I approached, Bucky dicked around on the guitar, plucking at random strings. Lexi, a lifeguard, passed me a bud. All the chairs were taken, so I sat in the dirt by the fire.
"Welcome to the special adult party," Gary said to me. "We do it every year on the last night. Tiffany's not going to rat us out to her parents, is she?"
"Set or don't call the shots in that relationship," Bucky said. "When you got a hot piece of ass like her, you just do what she says."
Fuck this guy. He'd been giving me shit all week. When I worked the job, I mostly kept to myself because there were always men like Bucky whose mouths were bigger than their muscles. My muscles were just big, a byproduct of being one of the younger guys in construction. The older ones were always making me do the toughest shit. I couldn't take the kind of bait Bucky was tossing in front of me. My dad had a temper that could flip at any moment, and I knew deep down that switch existed in me.
"Don't go there, man."
"Or what?"
Bucky asked.
I opened my beer.
"You're lucky there are kids around."
Lexi threw a bottle cap at Bucky.
"Stop, seriously. You're an ass."
Gary squinted at me over the fire. I wasn't so good at making friends, but he'd been good to me, giving me this job, making sure I was set all week. That was part of why I'd been on my best behavior. I planned to keep in touch, maybe even come back next year.
"Anybody know a good scary story?" Lexi asked.
"I got one," Bucky said. "Once upon a time, we ran out of beer."
"Bullshit," someone said.
"There's more back in the kitchen," Gary said.
"Nah, there ain't."
Bucky strummed the guitar and sang,
"This is the last of it." Gary checked the cooler. Fuck! Who the fuck's been sneaking it out? Everybody looked away. I hadn't drunk anything in a week, but if Tiffany had found herself some special punch our first night here, no doubt others had their ways of sniffing it out, too. Somebody's got to go replenish the stash, Gary said. The night just started, I've already had two, and with my job, if I get a DUI, I'm fucked. None of us are sober, Bucky pointed out, slowly turning his beady eyes on me. Except Sutter. I hadn't even taken a sip. Truth was, I didn't want to do much more than have a beer, two max, and head to bed. The days here were long, hot, and grueling, but everyone looked at me, which didn't leave me much choice. I don't have a car. Take my truck. Vern, a gray-haired, wiry man who worked full-time as a janitor for the campground, shifted around to shove his hand in his pocket. It's about 40 minutes to town and back. He tossed me the keys. It was barely 9:30 and didn't seem worth arguing about. Even if I wasn't going to drink, I was the new guy and their only hope for refills. I passed my untouched beer to the guy next to me and stood. All right. There's a liquor store on the main boulevard, Vern said. If it's closed, just stop in any dive around there and slip them some cash. They'll sell you a bottle of something. I nodded at them and headed for staff parking. Gary caught up with me after a few yards. Forgot to get you cash, he said, passing me a couple 20s. I thought about not accepting it, but I didn't have a dollar to spare on other people's alcohol, so I put it in my pocket. Thanks. Also wanted to thank you, Gary said. You did good this week. Yeah? We stopped at Vern's truck, a white rusted Ford from the 70s that looked like it weighed as much as a whale and probably moved as fast. I was a little worried about having Tiffany here, Gary said. She seems like a rule breaker. But far as I know, you two kept it clean. That probably wasn't easy, so I appreciate it. He ran a hand through the mop of curls on his head. How long you two been dating? Couple months, I guess. Ah, is it serious? I glanced back at the campfire. No, it wasn't, but it could get serious. If things kept this way, Tiffany letting down her guard, Lake being off limits, it might. Nah, not yet. Good, good. Gary rocked on his heels. You're too young to settle down, but I know how these girls can get. Don't let her push you in that direction if you aren't ready. I wasn't sure what to say about it. Much as I liked Gary, I wasn't in the habit of talking about my personal shit with anyone. He slapped me on the back. See you in a few. I climbed into the beat-up truck. The thing didn't look like it'd make it down the block, much less to town, but I figured Vern knew better than me. It growled to life, and I gave it a few minutes to warm up. Luckily, the heater worked. Walking away from the campfire had left me with a chill. I reversed out of the lot and headed for the trail toward the highway. I squinted through the pitch dark, the headlights showing only what was right in front of me. At the mouth of the unpaved road, a movement caught my eye. Lake stepped out into the path, looking not even a little worried I might hit her. I slammed on the brakes. Jesus Christ. In denim short shorts that looked a size too big and a t-shirt a size too small, she came around to the passenger's side and opened the door. What are you doing? I asked. Looking for you. I waited at the pool hoping you'd come since it's our last night. I checked over my shoulder to make sure nobody was around. Get in. She hauled herself into the seat and pulled on the door. Using all her weight only moved it a few inches. The truck was hidden by trees, but we weren't even off the campsite yet. I leaned over to grab the handle and the door creaked and groaned, closing heavily. Her face was in mine. I smelled sweetness, watermelon or something, and chlorine. You didn't get in the pool, did you?
Just my feet.
She kicked off her flip-flops. The fine gold hair on her upper thigh shimmered under the dome light. I didn't know where to start. The skimpy outfit, sneaking around in the dark, swimming without supervision. You can't be here, Lake.
I know, but it's our last night.
We were on display. I started to drive to get the light to turn off. It's everyone's last night. I went slowly down the unpaved trail, but we jostled in our seats anyway. She didn't even bother looking out the windshield.
Where are you going? She asked.
Hunched over the wheel, I glanced between her and the road. The seat was one long bench of three seats, Caribbean turquoise vinyl. She pulled one bare foot up on it and faced me, like I was about to say something important. On an errand.
So you're coming right back?
Yeah.
Then what's the big deal if I come?
It was after dark, she was a minor, and I was responsible for her. All that said, she'd never be safer than when she was with me. I was sure of it. I adjusted the rearview mirror. You promised to go straight to your cabin when we get back?
Yes. So what are you doing, swimming alone at night?
I made sure my tone conveyed my disapproval.